Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 8th of October, 2016. Sabbath greetings also to those listening on the phone and those joining us in the recording, as well as on WLMR radio, and we appreciate you having us in fellowship with you on this memorial of God's creationary power and also the promise of His recreationary power to change hearts and to make them alive in Him. So welcome, dear ones. Have an announcement before we get into our main service. And the announcement is that this coming Sabbath, October 15, is going to be our 200th service. And so in celebrating the mighty things that God has done in righteousness and granting us the privilege of holding this home church open and consistently for 200 Sabbaths in a row since we first began, we want to have communion service. So this coming Sabbath, the 15th of October, we'll be having foot washing and partaking of the bread and the juice, commemorating our Lord's death and sacrifice for each one of us and spilling of His blood. And so this will take place next Sabbath. So for those who need the communion bread recipe, please email me and I'll be glad to send it to you. There's three different recipes that you can choose from. But please come prepared to partake in the foot washing and communion next Sabbath. And again, praise God from whom all blessings flow for allowing us the distinct privilege and honor to gather here in His name and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is indeed a blessing. Our opening song is titled, More Like the Master. And may this be our daily prayer. Amen. Amen. I remember the first comment in the room says, I remember the first day. It was so beautiful. And meeting with Christ in our midst and the Father's presence and the Holy Spirit working upon hearts every time is so beautiful. More like the Master I would ever be. More of His meekness, more humility. More zeal to labor, more courage to be true. More consecration for the work He bids me do. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. More like the Master is my daily prayer. More strength to carry the crosses I must bear. More earnest effort to bring His kingdom in. More of His Spirit the wanderers to win. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More self-denial like His in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore.
As we get on our knees, may we bow our heads and our hearts, humbly coming before the Lord. O God, that you will please, starting off, that you would please forgive us of our sins, iniquities, and our transgressions, Father God. May our prayers be not hindered by anything that has been hindering to your spirit, Lord. I ask, O Lord Jesus, that you will continue to walk with us and speak with us in our daily lives, Father God. That you will heal any and everybody who is sick and who is not feeling well, O Lord. I ask, Lord, that you will also please bless us with your presence, O Lord, and continue to give us the word of truth so that we may be able to spread it to others, Father God. Allow us to continue to prepare ourselves for your coming, O Lord, and more importantly, prepare our children, Father God. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding, O Lord, and that you will just please bless the reading and the hearing of your word, Lord Jesus. Open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, and so that we may receive it humbly, Father God, and grow in your word, Father. Thank you for all that you have done, for your many blessings, Father God. Thank you for speaking with us, Lord Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that you will continue to give us the patience that we need, even in our prayers, Lord Jesus, that you would please allow us to be able to know that you have answered them, just not according to our will, but according to your will, and it shall be done, Lord Jesus. And still to be thankful in all things, Lord Jesus, even in our trying times, O God. I thank you for our friends and our families, and even those our enemies, Lord Jesus, because it is all that you have placed in our lives that is allowing us to be able to see you and to be able to grow in character, O Lord Jesus. And I ask, O Lord Jesus, that you will continue to bless your word, bless our lives, and allow our hearts to grow and our love to grow for you, Father God. Allow us to be able to be willing to obey your commandments, for it is that you said that if we love you, we will keep your commandments, Father God. So I just ask that you will also just give us a willing heart to be able to do so more earnestly. I ask, O Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Amen indeed. Before we get into our sermon, there was a question asked regarding the communion service, who can partake in it. And just quickly, any who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have been baptized are free to partake in the communion service of the bread and the juice. So if you have not yet received Christ as your Savior and been baptized, then please do not partake of the communion service. And if you would like to be baptized, then please contact me, and I'll be more than happy to bring you to a position in the truth through Bible studies to be able to have you baptized, Lord willing, before our next time of foot washing and communion. Now, as far as the foot washing ceremony, anyone can participate in that because that deals with the humility of heart and the sacrifice of pride and selfishness in participating in that service and washing the feet of others, including those that you have a disliking for, or perhaps a argument with, or disgruntled feelings. All of that is to be eliminated through the foot washing ceremony. And so anyone, whether baptized or not, can participate in that service. But as far as the communion itself of the bread and the juice, that is reserved for those that have embraced Christ as their Savior and have been baptized. There's another question. It says, if my son and I were baptized in the Adventist church long time ago, may we still participate in this ceremony? To my understanding, the answer is yes, because baptism is something that is between the individual and Christ. Now, there's others who recognize that they were just baptized because their friends were being baptized, or they were baptized because they wanted to join the church and that was the easiest way to do so. So then that particular baptism was not into Christ, but it was into the church. And so that would be an issue with the individual and Christ to resolve, and rebaptism is a way to resolve that. But I'm not in a position to judge which person's baptism is legitimate or not. That is a personal examination that each individual needs to make to determine if their baptism was into Christ or not. So in answer to your question, yes, it doesn't matter where you were baptized as long as your baptism was into Christ. And that is something between you and him to resolve if it was not into Christ. And rebaptism is allowed in the scriptures. So this is part five in our series on the scenario of events in these last days. And last time we discovered that in the 14th event, which is after our great high priest Jesus Christ has ceased his ministration in the most holy place, that the saints miraculously hear the tinkling of the bells on the bottom of his priestly garments as he leaves the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And this miraculous hearing of the tinkling of the bells on the bottom of Christ's high priest garments is the signal to the 144,000 that Christ is no longer interceding for guilty man, and thus it's useless to continue witnessing because Satan now has entire control over all the unrepentant. The 144,000 then cease witnessing and flee for their lives, and a cloud of darkness miraculously covers the earth, signaling that the time of Jacob's trouble has begun. So that was the 14th event. Now, in the 15th event that we learned last Sabbath, we saw that after Christ moves out of the most holy place, that he goes to the door of the first apartment. He then confesses all the forgiven sins of his people upon the head of the scapegoat, which we learned was Satan. Then a flaming cloud comes to where Jesus is. Christ then takes off his priestly garments and clothes himself in his kingly robes of vengeance. And then he takes his place on the cloud and leaves the sanctuary. Then he is surrounded by the angelic host, and they all leave heaven together. After this, we learned in the 16th event that after Jesus puts on the kingly garments of vengeance, that the seven last plagues begin to fall upon the wicked. And while the plagues are falling, the fit man is leading the scapegoat, or Satan, out into the land of forgetfulness. The remaining time from last Sabbath, we focused upon this fit man. And we amazingly discovered that the fit man symbolizes the living saints of the 144,000. And then we learned why. And we saw that the 144,000 become fully sinless and perfect in character in life while they still lived in the midst of the greatest wickedness this world has ever known. And then they retained their sinless state all the way until Christ no longer mediated between God and mankind and probation closed for the world. Then in this sinless state, the 144,000 are alone qualified to be the bride and wife of Jesus Christ and to live during the time of the plagues without a mediator. And so they are indeed a fit man to take the scapegoat or Lucifer out into a land not inhabited and to let him go in that desolate place. And even though Lucifer makes a great effort at every step to try and escape their hand, yet the 144,000 hold fast and endure every battle in order to victoriously pass through this great time of Jacob's trouble without a mediator while maintaining their sinlessness by steadfastly refusing to commit any sin. And after Christ comes and destroys all the wicked still living with the brightness and glory, then the devil himself will definitely wander all alone in a completely desolate and uninhabitable earth for 1,000 years, where afterwards he will eventually die. But we also discovered that if the 144,000 did not remain sinless during this time of Jacob's trouble, but chose instead to give up the intense wrestling and warfare with Satan by giving in to his temptations, then they would have failed in their vitally important mission to fully stand before God without a mediator and to maintain their fidelity to their spouse, Jesus Christ. If this would occur, then Satan would have been allowed to return back to his previous position of being the evil ruler over all mankind. This would signify that mankind has now twice chosen to accept Lucifer over Jesus without any justified excuse, as Adam and Eve were the first time. Thus, the atonement for all sins would be undone. God's faithful followers would no longer be forgiven, and the whole plan of salvation would be ruined. So without the 144,000 remaining the sinless bride of Christ and living before God the Father without a mediator during all this time of Jacob's trouble, then there would be no resurrection of the righteous dead at Christ's second coming, because all would be lost. So the 144,000 living saints have a tremendous responsibility of maintaining their sinless married state all during this time of Jacob's trouble, and to live through all the wrestling and fighting at every step against Satan's fierce temptations until Christ comes to deliver them. This would prove to the entire universe that human beings can faithfully and perfectly keep God's commandments under any circumstances. This would forever verify that God's plan of salvation was perfect and without any fault, that he was fully justified in giving his law, as well as forgiving those who had broken it, and was perfectly righteous in allowing all those who have died in faith in Jesus Christ to be resurrected to finally receive their reward of eternal life for their faithfulness. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1508.htm. And the Bible tells us this very thing. If you look at quote number one, and these all, referring to the faithful of all the ages who have died, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise of the reward of eternal life. God, having provided some better things for us, or those now living, that they, or the righteous dead, without us, the living saints, should not be made perfect or raised to immortal life. And that was from Hebrews 11, verses 39 to 40. So we also amazingly saw that the plan of salvation not only hinged on Jesus Christ faithfully carrying out his mission work, but it also hinges on the fit man, or the 144,000, faithfully carrying out their mission work. So that is what we learned last time. But what happens after the 16th event occurs, where the four angels let loose the winds of strife and the seven last plagues begin to fall? And this is what we will discover today. If you look at quote number two. Event number 17 is that the plagues fall in succession, but the first six plagues are not universal. And during this time, angels will protect the 144,000 from death. And since this deals with the time of Jacob's trouble and with what the 144,000 are going to be doing and experiencing during this time, we're going to spend all of today's lesson on this particular event. So the plagues fall in succession. The first six plagues are not universal. And angels will protect the 144,000 from death. In Revelation 15, verses 5 to 8, and also 16, verse 1. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And this, of course, is after Christ has come out of the most holy place. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. There's no mediator there. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. We're told in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 426. Vial after vial are to be poured out, one after another, upon the inhabitants of the earth. So the plagues fall in succession. The first plague, then the second plague, etc. In Testimonies to Ministers, page 182. The world is soon to be left by the angel of mercy, and the seven last plagues are to be poured out. The bolts of God's wrath are soon to fall, and when he shall begin to punish the transgressors, there will be no period of respite until the end. So each plague falls in succession, one after another, and there is no stopping until it's all completed. We're told in The Great Controversy, page 627 to 634. When Christ ceases his intercession in the sanctuary, the unmingled wrath threatened against those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, Revelation 14, 9 and 10, will be poured out. The plagues upon Egypt, when God was about to deliver Israel, were similar in character to those more terrible and extensive judgments which are to fall upon the world just before the final deliverance of God's people. Says the Revelator in describing these terrific scourges, there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. The sea became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the rivers and fountains of waters became blood. Terrible as these inflictions are, God's justice stands fully vindicated. The angel of God declares, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Revelation 16:2-6. By condemning the people of God to death, they have as truly incurred the guilt of their blood as if it had been shed by their hands. In like manner, Christ declared the Jews of his time guilty of all the blood of holy men which had been shed since the days of Abel, for they possessed the same spirit and were seeking to do the same work with these murderers of the prophets. In the plague that follows, power is given to the sun to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat. Revelation 16:8-9. The prophets thus describe the condition of the earth at this fearful time. The land mourneth, because the harvest of the field is perished. All the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. The rivers of water are dried up. And the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. That was taken from Joel 1, verses 10 to 12, 17 to 20, and Amos 8, 3. These plagues are not universal, or the inhabitants of the earth would be wholly cut off. So these first six plagues are not universal over all the earth at once, but they happen in different parts of the world. Continuing. Yet they will be the most awful scourges that have ever been known to mortals. All the judgments upon men prior to the close of probation have been mingled with mercy. even Hurricane Matthew, God limited its power of destruction because it did not head further west and thus affect the southern part of Florida, there in Miami and the rest, but it skirted along the coastline. That was God's limiting mercy of the destruction that Satan wanted to do. And it's all designed to try and wake men and women up that there is indeed a God that rules in the heavens, and there is indeed a devil that wants to destroy them. Who are they going to choose to follow? So all the judgments upon mankind prior to the close of probation have been mingled with mercy, continuing. The pleading blood of Christ has shielded the sinner from receiving the full measure of his guilt. But in the final judgment, wrath is poured out unmixed with mercy. The people of God will not be free from suffering. But while persecuted and distressed, and remember, at this time, the only people of God are the 144,000. But while persecuted and distressed, while they endure privation and suffer for want of food, they will not be left to perish. That God who cared for Elijah will not pass by one of his self-sacrificing children. He who numbers the hairs of their head will care for them, and in time of famine they shall be satisfied. While the wicked are dying from hunger and pestilence, angels will shield the righteous and supply their wants. So do we have to stockpile food in order to make sure we have abundant supplies during the time of Jacob's trouble? The answer is no. In fact, any food we may stockpile is going to be robbed from us by the wicked. They're going to be suffering hunger, and they're going to be out looking for food to satisfy their hunger. But besides, we're not going to be in homes, we're going to be fleeing out into the wilderness for our lives. So while the wicked are dying from hunger and pestilence, angels will shield the righteous and supply their wants. Continuing, to him that walketh righteously is the promise, bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And praise his holy name. This was taken from Isaiah 33, 15 and 16, and 41, verse 17. So the 144,000 will have nothing to fear from starvation or dying of thirst because angels will supply all of their needs. Now, it's one thing to recognize this promise now. It's another thing to manifest faith while you're enduring hunger and thirst. So we will have to remember these promises and cling to them, which will embolden our faith and confidence in God, and thus we'll be able to pass through that one instance of hunger and thirst. And there's going to be more that occur. And how do we get to that position of recalling these promises and resting in faith upon God's word at that time? How do we prepare for that time? It's by what God allows us to go through now. So if you're going through trials and tribulation and persecution in varying degrees, if you're going through hard times, God, who loves you, is right there to help you every step of the way if you will manifest faith in Him and be obedient to His will. God in love is preparing you to be able to endure as one of the 144,000 during the time of Jacob's trouble, which is going to be so much more intensified than what you're going through now. He's leading you on in baby steps now that you might be able to take bolder adult steps later. But without learning how to walk baby steps, you'll never be able to know how to walk adult steps. So God is preparing you and me now for the greater trials ahead, and praise His holy name for doing so. Continuing. Yet to human sight, it will appear that the people of God must soon seal their testimony with their blood, as did the martyrs before them. They themselves begin to fear. Remember, this is 144,000 now. They themselves begin to fear that the Lord has left them to fall by the hand of their enemies. What gets them through? It's remembering what God has done for them in the past. And what God has done for them in the past, since He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, will be the same that God will do for them now. But they themselves begin to fear that the Lord has left them to fall by the hand of their enemies. Continuing. It is a time of fearful agony. Day and night they cry unto God for deliverance. The wicked exult, and the jeering cry is heard, "Where now is your faith? Why does not God deliver you out of our hands if you are indeed His people?" But the waiting ones remember Jesus dying upon Calvary's cross, and the chief priests and rulers shouting in mockery, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him." Matthew 27:42. Like Jacob, all are wrestling with God. Their countenances express their internal struggle. Paleness sits upon every face, yet they cease not their earnest intercession. What was Christ doing when He was under the most intense internal struggle? He was praying most earnestly. It's exactly what the 144,000 will be doing in this time, the antitypical Garden of Gethsemane time. They cease not their earnest intercession. Continuing. Could men see with heavenly vision, they would behold companies of angels that excel in strength, stationed about those who have kept the word of Christ's patience. So God hasn't forsaken the 144,000. He sent his angels that excel in strength to be stationed all around them to keep them safe. But they can't see it. Not literally. By faith they can. Continuing. With sympathizing tenderness, they are waiting the word of their commander to snatch them from their peril. But they must wait a little longer. The people of God must drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism. The very delay, so painful to them, is the best answer to their petitions. As they endeavor to wait trustingly for the Lord to work, they are led to exercise faith, hope, and patience, which have been too little exercised during their religious experience. What gets the 144,000 through the time of Jacob's trouble? Faith, hope, and patience. That's what we're to be building now. Faith, hope, and patience, so that we, when we're called to exercise it during the time of Jacob's trouble, will be able to do so. And the more we have now, the easier it will be for us to endure during that agonizing time. But if God never gave us trials, if he never brought situations to us now that forced us to exercise faith, hope, and patience, then we would be utterly helpless during this trouble. And we would give up the warfare. So God in mercy allows each and every one of us to endure trials so that our faith, hope, and patience can be exercised and built up to prepare us for what is coming. And amen. Thank God for the trials. Paul says, I glory in tribulation. Because I know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it's these trials and tribulations now that build us up in Christ and enables us to endure the greater tribulations coming. So if you recognize what God is trying to do through these trials, then you can truly be joyful through them. And work in harmony with God to have your faith, hope, and patience built up and increased instead of focusing on the trial and how it affects you and then become complaining and bitter and discouraged. So let us work in harmony with God and become that much more fit up to be that fit man and part of the 144,000. Continuing. The heavenly sentinels, faithful to their trust, continue their watch. Though a general decree has fixed the time when commandment keepers may be put to death, their enemies will in some cases anticipate the decree, and before the time specified will endeavor to take their lives. But none can pass the mighty guardian stationed about every faithful soul, the 144,000. Some are assailed in their flight from the cities and villages, but the swords raised against them break and fall, powerless as the straw. Now notice, it didn't say here they take their guns, or they take their grenades, or AK-47s. It says they take their swords. And what happens to the swords? They break and fall powerless as the straw. Can you imagine that happening in your sight? The wicked rush against you saying, aha, we've caught you now and we're going to teach you a lesson for rebelling against the one world order and not keeping Sunday. And they take their sword and are going to strike you with it, and then it breaks in their hands and falls down. That is going to be the experience of some of the 144,000. Continuing. Others are defended by angels in the form of men of war. So then there's going to be others that are surrounded by the wicked and they try to kill them, and then men of war come to their rescue and deliver them from their enemies. These men of war are angels. Continuing. As the wrestling ones urge their petitions before God, again it's the 144,000, the veil separating them from the unseen seems almost withdrawn. Now imagine this. The heavens glow with a dawning of eternal day, and like the melody of angel songs, the words fall upon the ear. Stand fast to your allegiance. Help is coming. So while they're wrestling and sending up their earnest petitions to God for deliverance and help, what comes to them? Melodic words that tells them to stand fast to your allegiance because help is coming. Who spoke these words to them? Continuing. Christ, the Almighty Victor, holds out to his weary soldiers a crown of immortal glory, and his voice comes from the gates ajar. Lo, I am with you. Be not afraid. I am acquainted with all your sorrows. I have borne your griefs. You are not warring against untried enemies. I have fought the battle in your behalf, and in my name you are more than conquerors. Where do these words come from? They come from Jesus Christ. And where did he speak them? Where was he located when these words were spoken? From the gates ajar, meaning the heavenly gates. So when these words are spoken, Christ is on that cloud coming through the gates of heaven, down to the earth. Help is coming. Stand fast to your allegiance. So how many of these six last plagues fall before Christ actually makes it from the sanctuary where all the angels then gather around him and he goes through the gates of heaven? And these words are spoken? We don't know. All we know is that the plagues have already started to fall, but we don't know how many of these plagues have already fallen before Christ actually makes it through the heavenly gates coming down to the earth. But when he goes through those gates, he gives encouragement with his own voice to each one of the 144,000 that help is coming. I'm on my way. Stand fast. In my name, you are more than conquerors. And that encouragement is just enough to bolden their faith and hope and patience to endure. Just as the heavenly angels were sent to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane in answer to his prayer to strengthen him to endure. Continuing. The precious Savior will send help just when we need it. And praise his holy name for doing so. Continuing. The way to heaven is consecrated by his footprints. Every thorn that wounds our feet has wounded his. Every cross that we are called to bear, he has borne before us. The Lord permits conflicts to prepare the soul for peace. The time of trouble is a fearful ordeal for God's people, but it is the time for every true believer to look up, and by faith, he or she may see the bow of promise encircling him or her. The eye of God, looking down the ages, was fixed upon the crisis which his people are to meet, when earthly power shall be arrayed against them. Like the captive exile, they will be in fear of death by starvation or by violence. But the Holy One who divided the Red Sea before Israel will manifest his mighty power and turn their captivity. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Malachi 3:17. If the blood of Christ's faithful witnesses were shed at this time, it would not, like the blood of the martyrs, be as seed sown to yield a harvest for God. Their fidelity would not be a testimony to convince others of the truth, for the obdurate heart has beaten back the waves of mercy until they return no more. If the righteous were now left to fall a prey to their enemies, it would be a triumph for the prince of darkness. So once the time of Jacob's trouble begins, not a single follower of God at that point in time, which are the 144,000, will lose their lives they will remain alive unto the coming of the Lord. But the wicked will be dying all around them. So at that time, the only followers of God in the earth are the 144,000. Which means that all the other followers of God will have seen death before the close of probation happens for the earth. And the only ones left alive for God will be the 144,000 who will then not suffer death, even though all appearances around them signify that they're about ready to die. That's where the faith, the hope, and the patience come into play. So there's going to be a lot of God's followers martyred for their faith or fall asleep in the Lord before probation closes for the world. And after that time occurs, there will be no more loss of life to God's followers. Continuing. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited for his coming and whose names are written in the book of life. So now we've seen some of what the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like. We've seen instances in which the heavenly angels protect the righteous by causing the swords to break and fall. We've seen other instances in which angels in the form of men of war come to defend God's people from their enemies. But the ministration of angels goes beyond just these types of defense. If you look at quote number 3. From Historical Sketches, page 158. In the day of fierce trial, he or Christ will say, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." What are the chambers in which they are to hide? They are the protection of Christ and holy angels. The people of God are not at this time all in one place. They are in different companies and in all parts of the world. So the 144,000 are not all in one area, which means they have not all been taken captive by their enemies and grouped together in one concentration camp or one jail or facility. They're scattered all around the world, and some of them are in company with others. Wouldn't that be wonderful to go through the time of Jacob's trouble with another brother or sister in the faith? This is a promise, dear ones. Not all of us will be in company with others. Some of us may be all alone. But here is God's promise that some of us, maybe the majority of us, are going to be with other ones that make up the 144,000. All over the world. That means that the 144,000 do not just all come from America. They come from all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people all around the world. from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 256. In the time of trouble just before the coming of Christ, the righteous will be preserved through the ministration of heavenly angels. In Early Writings 282, I saw the saints leaving the cities and villages and associating together in companies and living in the most solitary places. Angels provided them food and water while the wicked were suffering from hunger and thirst. Remember, when Elijah fled for his life, a heavenly angel was sent to him and provided him food and water. Not once, but twice. Now listen to this one. Our Father Cares, page 333 to 334. During the night, a very impressive scene passed before me. There seemed to be great confusion and the conflict of armies. A messenger from the Lord stood before me and said, "Call your household. I will lead you. Follow me." He led me down a dark passage, through a forest, then through the clefts of mountains, and said, "Here you are safe." There were others who had been led to this retreat. The heavenly messenger said, "The time of trouble has come as a thief in the night. As the Lord warned you, it would come." So here we have a promise that if need be, the angels will personally lead us through different places into a safe retreat where other of the 144,000 have already been led. That means that some of the 144,000 will not be surrounded by their enemies. They will be able to endure this time of Jacob's trouble in prayer, not just for themselves, but for their other brothers and sisters that are enduring greater trials than they have to endure. Our God is so merciful, dear ones. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows just who among us are capable of witnessing for Him amidst the greatest intensity of evil raged against us. And He also knows who among us are unable to endure that type of intensity. We all have to rest in Jesus Christ and His love to get us through. But not all of the 144,000 are going to have the physical endurance necessary through this time. I fully believe that the 144,000 are not just made up of middle-aged adults. There's going to be children among them. There's going to be youth among them. There's going to be teens. There's going to be young adults. There's also going to be the elderly. Because age doesn't matter to God. What matters to Him is a whole heart given to Him without reserve. And anyone, no matter what their age, can give Him their whole heart if they understand the truth and have fallen in love with Christ. So even the elderly who cannot possibly endure the intensity of the greatest struggle, God is going to have a care for, and He's not going to let them perish. He will lead them into a safe mountain retreat. They will still be praying in agony of soul for deliverance, and will, in intercessory prayer, be praying for their fellow 144,000 brothers and sisters who are not in their company, but are thus elsewhere, and maybe enduring the great struggle of being surrounded by enemies that want to destroy you, and yet you still hold fast to God. Intercessory prayer goes a long way to moving God's hand to work in behalf of those whom you're interceding for. And we need to start that now, dear ones. We need to be in intercessory prayer for each one. That may be the only reason that they endure through the great times of tribulation, because we were praying for them. Just like with Abraham and Lot, the only reason Lot and his family were rescued is because Abraham's interceding prayers with God for them to be spared. From This Day with God, page 241. He has made the strength of the everlasting hills to be a safe retreat for His people. He has prepared the mountains and the caves for His oppressed and persecuted children. He's prepared places already, dear ones, for some of His 144,000 bride to find refuge in during the time of Jacob's trouble. What love, what foresight, what compassion. But dear ones, whether God allows us to be led into these safe retreats, waiting for the coming of our Lord during the time of Jacob's trouble, or whether we're all alone surrounded by a host of enemies that are crying for our execution, let us rejoice that we are the Lord's and He is ours. Let us rest in His love. And in His love, in His name and character, we are more than conquerors. Continuing, we may sing, God is our refuge and strength in time of trial. He who made the towering mountains, the everlasting hills, to Him we may look. So in this particular event, we've learned that each of these plagues fall in succession upon the wicked and devastate different parts of the earth. But the first six plagues are not universal upon all. We've learned that the 144,000 living saints have fled for their lives into the uninhabited wilderness. Some are alone. Some are captured and in jail, while others have gathered together in little companies, and some have even been led by angels into safe mountain retreats. But all the 144,000 cry earnestly to God day and night for deliverance, while their faith and trust in God is steadily increased. Yet they are not left to struggle all alone and without any help, because Christ himself encourages each one of his faithful bride with his own lovely voice to not be afraid, but to continue holding steadfast, because he is passing through the gates ajar of heaven and coming to their rescue. And in his name, they will become more than conquerors. But whether all alone or in company with others, whether surrounded by enemies or in jail awaiting execution, angels that excel in strength will be protecting each one of them, and not a single one of the 144,000 will be killed, but they all will remain alive, patiently waiting for their God to come and deliver them. So this is event number 17 out of the 30 different events of the last days. And so what occurs after these six plagues have fallen and this particular event comes to an end? This is what we're going to discover next time we have this series, which will be the 22nd of October. Because this next Sabbath on the 15th, we're going to be having foot washing and communion. But we'll discover next time what occurs after the 17th event of the six plagues falling. And it is quite amazing what happens in the 18th event. And again, praise God for his merciful kindness to the children of men. And what a Savior we have, dear ones. There is nothing in heaven or earth that can separate us away from his love. Nothing whatsoever. His love is constant. We are his and he is ours. And that is cause for rejoicing. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. And his love for us is perfect. And our love for him needs to be perfect as well. Our closing song is entitled, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising our Savior all the day long. And what a blessed assurance this is, dear ones. My beloved is mine, and I am his. What can man do unto me? He's but flesh and bones that is soon to be destroyed in the lake of fire. But my God is the Almighty One. The Lord of hosts is His name, and in Him I will trust. And He will save me. Blessed assurance indeed. And amen. Amen. A comment in the room, it says, memorize these songs and they will give you comfort in the time of trouble. Amen. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Father, we thank you for knowing the end from the beginning, and we thank you for already preparing places of refuge for the bride of your Son, for each of us, dear Father. We find that refuge today in Jesus Christ and remaining hid in Him during the time of Jacob's trouble. You will lead us to places of refuge so that we can wait for our God to come and take us home to the wedding. Praise your holy name for your great love, mercy, and compassion for each one of us. As unworthy as we are, we praise your name for your goodness and grace. Dear Savior, thank you for bringing us into a covenant relationship with you that will last for eternity. And thank you for the privilege of following you wherever you lead the way. Help us indeed to give up everything that we may win you and may rest in your love. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will continue to work upon our hearts to soften and subdue us, to refine us, to purge out from us those things that are unchristlike, and to remake within us through grace and divine power the characteristics and the attributes of our God, that we, by beholding him, may become changed into his image step by step, day after day, until we become a perfect reflection of him. And thus we've made ourselves ready. You see your Son in us. Christ sees his bride in us. And then he throws down the censer and says, I'm coming to get my wife and take her home. I've waited so long. And she has finally made herself ready for me. Help us, Lord, to make ourselves ready through your grace and strength to work in harmony with you working within us to do according to thy good pleasure. And Father, forgive us for taking so long. And please help us to redeem the time, because the days are truly growing more evil. We thank you for being here with us. Please continue to dwell with us, to rule in our hearts and minds, and enable us to continue growing in grace until we reach that perfect stature of a man, woman, or child in Christ Jesus. Again, please be with those that are in harm's way from Matthew and other catastrophes and natural disasters occurring around the world. Thank you for limiting the devil's power to destroy life. And please send your angels and Holy Spirit to awaken this world's population to know and understand that there is a way of escape from death and destruction, and that is found only in the man Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for doing so, for hearing and answering our prayers and petitions according to thy perfect will, and for allowing us this great treasure of your words of inspiration. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, are there any questions, any comments, any thoughts, anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
I'd like to share a scripture song that I have sung before and I really loved it. It's called Pardon, Peace, and Power. Would we be joyful in the world, then count the riches o'er. Reveal to faith within his word and know the boundless door. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity and paradise. With all of these in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to him arise. For every sin by grace divine, a pardon free bestowed, and with the pardon peace is mine, the peace in Jesus' blood. There is pardon, peace, and power, in purity and paradise. With all of these in Christ for me, let joyful psalms of praise to Him arise. Oh, grace to break the pouch, and He gives a full supply. The Holy Ghost, the heart within person to purify. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise. The power to win the soul to God, the Spirit to impart, and He, the gift of Christ, who dwells now in all our hearts. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise. These blessings be by faith received, by simple childlike trust. In Christ is God's delight to give. He promised and He must. There is pardon, peace, and power, and purity, and paradise. With all of these in Christ for me, let joyful songs of praise to Him arise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I share a testimony, I would like to share him. And dear Sister Mariela, I will sing the garden as soon as I finish. Okay, dear sister? Okay. The hymn is called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How we trial and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus know our every weakness, take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come with a lot of care. Precious Savior, still a refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do that friend despite forsaking, take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arm he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solemn there. There was a reason why I chose this particular hymn, because this is exactly what the Lord had done for their family. The testimony that I have to give is about the storm that was about to hit head on to Florida. Matthew, there are so much precious brethren that we have there. And sometimes when you are far away and you are so concerned about their safety, the only thing that is left to do is to just pray and go into intercessory prayer to ask the Lord to make a miracle. And truly the Lord had done that. As I began to see the movement of this hurricane, it was coming from a place where none of the islands in the Caribbean or even the area of the coast was going to be safe by it. But we know and we all can acknowledge that God is a God of deliverance. And as we begin to pray and we ask the Lord to please protect, there was a particular family that I have been sharing the gospel since 2008. It's a family that were deep devotees as Catholic. And as she began to read the word of God and separate herself from all the things that we know that is not of God, her family as well started to be able to abandon her and call her traitor, because being a Catholic so long and just happened to just know a little bit of, and then all of a sudden have to leave her faith. There's a lot of family that has separated from her. That wasn't the only thing that she was struggling with. Also, she was diagnosed with cancer. And also, she was diagnosed that she had a bad heart. With all these things then that was coming towards her, she never had lost her faith. During the time of the hurricane, as she saw all the homes around her being boarded up with boards, she started to be able to call her landlord of her house, because her house also has wood, and was asking that if she would be able to supply. And not only did the landlord became not very kind, but told her that whatever she's going to do, she better do it with her own money and to do whatever it is that she wanted. As she started to become very distressed on all that was really going on, the only thing that we could do is just pray and ask the Lord to become the very wood around that home. And as I went to pray, the Lord gave me Ezra chapter 9, and I began reading it for her and started to tell her about the different stories of how the Lord had delivered his people, even though they may not have anything. And when I finished with her, I went on my own and started to pray and ask the Lord to allow her to be a testimony, not only around her neighborhood, but even to the individual that rented the home. Because even though that she was actually very sad and a little bit frustrated with the answer of the landlord, I was moved to tell her, don't get angry with her. Sometimes these things, especially what is being uttered out of their mouth, might be the very thing that you're going to see the hands of God, because she may need a lot of, a lot of patience with someone that was so unreasonable. But by actually telling her to do whatever she wanted, it just leave her completely in the hands of God. So as we continue praying, looking to us, the actual hurricane was coming in directly where they were, because it was supposed to come in to us west Palm Beach, and she was like at least 45 to an hour away from that area. As she started to be able to hold on to just the promise of the Lord, I asked the Lord, just like as the children of Israel in Egypt, when all the Egyptian was in darkness, they were the only one that had light. When she found out that she was going to have like the impact towards the hurricane, it says that it will be coming in strong between 3 o'clock a.m. Trying to stay vigil, I just rested in the Lord and just left it in His hand. The next morning I got up and I called and I said, Familia, because they speak Spanish, is everybody okay? And it reminded me when the king runs and try to find out if Daniel was still alive, if the God of Daniel did preserve them. And she says, yes, it's not only a preservation that was doing, but also the Lord did not allow her lights to go out. As the couple went out outside to see the little bit that had happened around the home, she has her garden, she has her plants, and she was worrying because she was wondering if she moved the things. And I said, Sister Enya, you're not going to be able to move it because she has a bad heart. Just leave it and allow the Lord to be able to protect, because that was the things that I was more concerned about, is picking up all of these things I may not be able to be suitable for her health. When she got up in the morning and she went walking out with her husband, there was cars trying to walk back and forth to ask questions. And one of them came back and said, when did your light went out? And she said, I'm sorry, but my light never went out. And the thing about it is that she says, there was a time as well in the middle of the night where two of them started to feel that the ceiling of the house was going to be picked up. But she happened by God's grace to take her Bible and go in the center of her home and started to plead and ask, Father, have mercy. She may not have the fullness of all the stories, but just with the little bit of the prayer of Nehemiah and the trust that if you put your whole heart and your trust in God, the Lord will be able to deliver. I just wanted to share this message, not only for the purpose of giving encouragement that even when people do not help, remember that your help does not come from man. It comes from God. And it's better to be in the hands of the Lord than in the hands of man. And I thank God for the protection, not only for the coast, but this hurricane was supposed to go all through the coast, all towards the north, and the Lord did not allow it to go. And when we see we have a lot of brethren close to the coast, we just want to thank God, and I personally want to thank God for manifesting in such a way. For this dear sister is fighting in her own home because she has a husband that was still struggling with believing in the Lord. But I pray and I ask the Lord that all those people that was wondering what this Matthew storm are, may you join with us to be able to pray that the person not only see it as a name, but to go into the scripture and read the book of Matthew, especially Matthew 24, 25, and even 13, to let them know that the Lord truly had mercy upon many people. And it's only mercy that we have to be able to continue giving this gospel to those that are waiting. And I just wanted to just finish the testimony with the request of a dear sister. She wanted me to sing In the Garden. And please keep praying for all of the brethren, because even though it did not go all the way in, there's going to be a lot of damage with water. And I just wanted to share that.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice
is so sweet, the bird hush dear sing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there no other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him through the night, around me be falling, but he bids me go to the voice of war. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known.
As I sit here and think about it too, if you notice that the owner did not give her any board to be able to board out her house, but yet the Lord allowed the light to remain. And with the board, they wouldn't have seen that. So do you see how the Lord, when he did not allow certain things to happen, it was for his honor and glory? To glory be the Lord and God Almighty. Amen.
Amen. And praise his holy name. And we'll be keeping that dear sister in our prayers, and also her husband, that he may come to recognize the truth and may see in this miracle that God was watching over him and his wife and family there, and may understand that God heard the prayer of his wife, and thus the truth that she has accepted must really be the truth, or God would not have worked in her deliverance. So, indeed, may God keep this dear sister, Eugenia, thank you, keep her growing in grace, faithful to the truth, and work upon the hearts of her loved ones to come to the full knowledge of the gospel. Amen, dear sister. And thank you so much for sharing that testimony. It was beautiful. And also for the song.
That was a wonderful testimony and a wonderful witness to the neighbors. I have a song here I like to sing. I memorized this years ago, but you know how memory goes. It fades unless you work on it every day, and you just don't take time every day to sing this song. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy God. First rest in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Much time spend in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And look. looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Thank you.
Here are my hands, let them serve. Let my mouth speak your words, and my ears to hear your voice. Guide my feet to follow your path. Guide my eyes to see all that you want me to be. And I will obey you with all my heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. And thank you, dear ones. There was a question put in the room a while ago, and it was sent to me in a private message, and it says, the 144,000 flee for their lives. Do the 144,000 return from the wilderness to lead Satan away? Is it literally the 144,000 or footman that leads Satan out into the land of forgetfulness? And will Satan be a literal being when he's led out? And the answer is no. It's spiritually taking place. It would be impossible for each of the 144,000 to take hold literally of Satan and lead him into the wilderness. So that is a spiritual representation of the 144,000 refusing to give in to any of the battle, the fight, the wrestles with the devil in trying to lead them into sin and reject Christ and accept him as their Lord, like Adam and Eve did. So this wrestling against the devil and leading him into the land of forgetfulness, or in other words, into the desolate earth where he will be for 1,000 years while the saints are with Christ up in heaven going over the books of the dead, that is symbolic of the 144,000 taking Satan by hand and leading him out into the wilderness, just as anciently the fit man literally did with the scapegoat. So it's just a representation of what takes place in a spiritual sense, and is not literally the 144,000 taking Satan and dragging him out into the wilderness. So what took place literally there in the sanctuary and the services is a spiritual representation of what takes place in these last days. So is there any other questions along that line, or is there any other questions, dear ones, that you have over what we have gone through so far? Please feel free. Yeah. We plus Christ defeat the devil. And that was a comment in the room. When you look at it from this aspect, it makes a lot of sense. Adam and Eve were created sinless, perfect, holy, but they were placed on probation to determine whether they would retain their holiness by trusting in God, or if they would give up their holiness and serve another master. Adam and Eve chose to give up their holiness, serve another master. Christ came perfectly holy and sinless, but he took upon him our fallen human nature, and he was placed on probation. will he retain his sinlessness, or will he give in to the clamors of fallen human nature and serve another master? Christ retained his sinlessness, and even though the human nature was trying to drag him to the devil, he chose instead to cling to God, and he gained the victory. But Christ was both God and man at the same time, even though he did not live in his godhood while he was on the earth. So now, Christ has purchased the redemption of mankind and given him another chance to show their faithfulness to God. That's where the 144,000 come in. They have become completely sinless in life. Christ has made the atonement. All of their past sins have been forgiven and removed forever from the record books, and they stand before God just as Adam and Eve stood, perfectly sinless and holy. Now, will they, under probation, will they remain faithful to God, or will they give him up, as did Adam and Eve, and serve another master? We are told in prophecy that the 144,000 retain their sinlessness and prove to God in the entire universe that they would rather serve Christ than serve another master. That they would rather die than to give Christ up. Thus, they remain faithful. They go through the time of probation without a mediator and endure unto the end. They not only receive the right to eternal life, but they have provided the last piece of the puzzle, if you will, in the plan of salvation and allow the rest of all the redeemed from Abel all the way down the line to be resurrected to also receive eternal life. And it's during that probationary time, remaining faithful without a mediator, that Satan is led out into the wilderness and let go in a land not inhabited, which is during that 1,000 years. So, praise God for his merciful kindness to the children of men. Well, dear ones, is there any other thoughts or questions or comments, anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs or requests? Please feel free.
Joshi and I are going to share He Hide My Soul is supposed to be in the hymn book 520. I'm not sure if Elder Rob will have it.
Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadow of dry, thirsty land. He hided my life in the depth of his love and covered me there with his hands. And covered me there with his hands.
A wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord, he taketh me.
He taketh my burdens away.
He holding me up and I shall not be moved. He giving me strength as my day. He giving me strength as my day. He hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry, thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me there with his hands, and cover me there with his hands. With numberless blessing each moment he crowns, I'm filled with the fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. For such a redeemer as mine. He hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadow of dry, thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me dear with his hands, and cover me dear with his hands. When clothed in brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the skies. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with a millions on high. I'll shout with millions on high. He hiding my soul in the cliff of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hiding my life in the depth of his love, and cover me dear with his hands, and cover me dear with his hands. Amen.
By request, the hymn Look for the Waymarks is here in the room, and those who know this hymn and would like to take a verse, please feel free. Look for the waymarks as you journey on. Look for the waymarks passing one by one. Down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Where are we standing? Look the waymarks o'er. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The journey's almost o'er. First, the Assyrian kingdom ruled the world. Then, Medo-Persia's banners were unfurled. And after, Greece held universal sway. Rome seized the scepter. Where are we today? Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The journey's almost o'er.
Down in the feet of iron and of clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next great glorious drama be? Then his coming and eternity. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the way marks, the great prophetic way marks. The journey's almost over.
Amen. And that's where we are in the stream of time, down in the feet of iron and a clay. And we're a day closer to the coming of our Lord God Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day that will be. There was another request that is titled A Song of Heaven and Homeland. And not very many know this beautiful hymn. But if you do and would like to take a verse, please feel free. Sometimes I hear strange music like none e'er heard before. Come floating softly earthward as through heaven's open door. It seems like angel voices in strains of joy and love that swell the mighty chorus around the throne above. O sweet celestial music, heard from a land afar, the song of heaven and homeland through door. Now soft and low and restful it floods my soul with peace, as if God's benediction bade all earth's troubles cease. Then grander than the voices of wind and wave and sea, it fills the dome of heaven with glorious harmony. O sweet celestial music, heard from a land afar, the song of heaven and homeland, through doors God leaves ajar. This music haunts me ever like something heard in dreams. It seems to catch the cadence of heavenly winds and streams. My heart is filled with rapture to think someday to come, I'll sing it with the angels, the song of heaven and home. O sweet celestial music, heard from a land afar, the song of heaven and homeland, through doors God leaves ajar. These little tastes of heaven just beckon us for a greater desire to have more, to be there, and indeed to unite our voices with the angels in praising our God from whom all blessings flow. We have another request, Amazing Grace, and please, dear ones, feel free to take a verse. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Twice grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How gracious did thy grace appear, that our first believe.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
When we've been dear 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones. Was there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other testimonies, comments, any other songs, requests, any other questions, dear ones, before we close today's service? Please feel free.
Happy Sabbath, brethren. I'm just going to sing What a Friend That We Have in Jesus. Janelle's out with me, and she's in another room.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All the sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we have been. Every trials and temptation, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take to the Lord in prayer. Knows of every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Savior still our King. Take to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends he spies will say,
more of a Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More of a Jesus, more of a Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing these things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more we save in fullness see, more is love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Amen.
Amen. Those songs are beautiful, and thank you so much for singing them from your hearts. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship and gathering. I pray that the things that have been shared in all the services will indeed take hold in your hearts, that you will take some time to ponder and study into them, that they may become more part of you, and that you will indeed share what you have learned with others so that they too can also have the precious chance and privilege to come into the saving knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. Look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Until then, keep looking up and continue growing in grace and growing stronger in faith, hope, and patience, so that you may be a candidate for the 144,000 and indeed hasten the coming of our Lord in the clouds of heaven. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn, and please feel free to take a verse. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout the sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through.
You will see your Lord a-coming, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air. So, dear ones, hold fast, endure unto the end, and finish the race. And Christ will put upon your head the crown of life because you've conquered in His name. So, dear ones, may God bless until we meet again in fellowship.